You're listening to a message from The Gathering. Check us out on Facebook or our website at peopleintheircity.com. Now, prepare your heart for God to speak something powerful into your life.
We are wrapping up the series that we have been in called Your Future, An Invitation to True Life. We're talking about the fulfilling future that God does have for you and how you can live in it. At church, next Sunday is Easter. Oh, we're going to party. I can't wait. We're going to talk all about Jesus. We're going to sing to Jesus. We're going to thank Jesus. We're going to praise Jesus. We're going to love Jesus. We're going to invite all of our friends who need Jesus to join us in the presence of Jesus. You with me? It's going to be a great day. Now, today is a special day as well. Today is Palm Sunday. Okay, historically, the Sunday before Easter is the day that Jesus entered the city of Jerusalem like the king that he is. He received the kind of welcome party that a king should receive, where the city just went into a frenzy. They celebrated. People were grabbing palm branches off of trees and waving them high in the sky as he entered the city. But Jesus had a different mindset than many of the people who welcomed him into Jerusalem that day. Many of them thought he was entering the city as a king on a mission to conquer it and to rule over it. The truth is, though, Jesus did come as a king on a mission, but he came to rescue his people. He did come to conquer, but he came to conquer over sin and death to set his people free. He entered that city knowing that just days later he would give his life as a ransom. He would die a horrific death on the cross to pay for the freedom of every person who would choose to trust in, commit to, and rely upon him with their lives from there on out. Friends, Jesus knew his future. In fact, we're going to see in just a moment, he absolutely knew what his future held. He knew what God the Father had invited him to do with his life, and he knew what it would cost him to do it. And yet he still said yes. And as a result of what he accomplished in Jerusalem that week, he now invites us and anyone and everyone to enter into true life through him as well. But friends, you need to know, it will cost you and me something if we're going to accept his invite. It will cost you something. And it's most often the unwillingness to pay the cost that keeps so many people living the unfulfilled life. So here we go, one more time. At some point in your past, today was your future. Here's the question we've been asking. Have things turned out the way you wanted them to? Have things turned out the way you hoped they would? Do you wake up each day knowing you're about to spend your day being the person God created you to be and therefore doing the very specific things that he designed you to do? Most people don't. Most people don't get to live that way. But does that mean you can't? Do you want to, church? Come on, do you want to? Do you want to get to wake up each day knowing you're about to spend your day being the person God created you to be and therefore getting to do the very specific things he designed you to do? Yeah, come on, we all want that, right? And so just think for a moment. What did you dream about being or doing when you were younger? There was a time in all of our lives where we used to dream about what we would one day do. For many of us, we haven't dreamed that way since we were kids. What were some of the ridiculously awesome things you dreamed about when you were a kid? Come on, did you have any crazy dreams when you were a kid? I dreamed crazy dreams when I was a kid. I still do that, though. You guys know that. Can't stop, won't stop. Because with God, all things are possible, right? But man, I dreamed crazy dreams when I was a kid. When I was a kid, I dreamed that I could one day grow up to be the dude who would drive Bigfoot, the monster truck, for a living. When I was a kid, I dreamed I wanted to be in the Dukes of Hazzard. I wanted to be Bo and Luke's other cousin. Bo and Luke and Brandon Duke. It's got a nice ring to it, doesn't it? And we had, in my parents' basement, when I was growing up, man, they had this, nasty orange. This just Oh, it was orange. This orange giant 70s recliner. You know me and my brothers would hop in that thing and pretend it was the General Lee. Yes, I dreamed about making it to the NHL one day. I wanted to be a rock star when I grew up. And so I love being a dad with little boys right now. I love getting to hear about the things that they dream about. They dream crazy dreams too. My five-year-old right now, he is dead set that he will be a professional motocross rider one day. I love it. That's awesome. My seven-year-old, he's kind of beginning to switch it up a little bit, but he's still pretty convinced that he will be a ninja. And some of you guys even know this. Some of you guys lead my kids in the Gathering Kids, and so I've heard stories about when it comes time for prayer requests, that these are the kinds of prayer requests he makes where he says things like, could we please pray for my mom that she won't be sad when I have to move to Japan one day when I'm a ninja? I know, my kids are very spiritual already. But I love it. I love it. I love to encourage them to dream big. I especially love to encourage them to dream big as they learn how to follow Jesus. Here's what I know. When we start following Jesus, when we become God's kids, God loves to give us new dreams. As he saves us and changes us, he loves to plant on-mission dreams into our hearts that he then wants us to live out. I used to dream about playing in a band full-time. But life didn't turn out the way that I hoped it would. But I gave my life to Jesus, and he gave me a way better, way more fulfilling, a brand new dream. Now I dream about seeing Newton reborn, a people in their city revived, rebuilt, and renewed by Jesus for his glory. If things haven't turned out the way you hoped they would, here's my encouragement. Follow God and start asking him now, God, who do you want me to be? And what is it that you want me to do? And start dreaming of your future with him. Then here's a good way to help you begin to discern if your new dream is truly from God or not. Ask yourself, does my new dream really involve my life being used to impact other people's lives for the kingdom of God? If it doesn't pass that smell test, then you need to keep dreaming. And you need to keep discovering and taking the next steps that Jesus has for you in order for you to continue to become the person he wants you to become. But know this, it will cost you something to live in the future that God has for you. And I think most people do know that. They may not think about it in those terms, but I think it's the unwillingness to pay the cost. I think that's the very reason that so many people aren't truly fulfilled. But here's how you can be, okay? Here's the invitation from Jesus that, if properly accepted, gets us on that path, okay? We've been looking at Matthew 4:19 for the last several weeks. Let's look at it one more time. This is what Jesus says. Come on. And he said to them, follow me. And now I know you all know this. Say it with me. And I will make you fishers of men. This is the invitation that Jesus gave to his first disciples, and it's the same invitation he's given to every person he's invited to follow him ever since. In other words, Jesus invites us to live the invitational life with him, or as we say around here all the time, to live saved, changed, and on mission to make more disciples, to allow God to move through our lives to draw other people into his family so they can experience true life in God as well. If you don't ever lead others into true life, you'll never fully experience it yourself. So for the past 2 weeks, we talked all about how God invited his people Israel to follow him into the promised land that he had for them. This was his plan. This is what he told his people. He said, I'm going to plant you in the land. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to change you. I'm going to make you into my people so that I can be a blessing to the whole world through you guys. He said, the whole world's future is going to be changed by me through you guys. Just accept my invite, follow me, let's go take the promised land together. Now, initially, his people refused to accept his invite. But their refusal to follow God into the future that he had for them didn't stop God's plans for the future of the world. No, he raised up another generation of people that would accept his invite. So we saw that 40 years later, God led the children of those who had refused. He led them into the promised land. They crossed that line with him. And then he led them through battle after battle. He provided miracle after miracle until their enemies were defeated and until they could settle into the land to live the lives that God had called them to live. Once again, he called them to live lives through which he could bless the entire world. He called them to live lives through which the entire world could get to know God through them. Now, I want you to think about this for a moment. Is that not still God's plan? Is that not still what he's up to? I want to make a giant connection for us this morning. If those people hadn't accepted his invitation to enter the land, we wouldn't be here today. And yeah, there were many among the people in the nation of Israel who, even after entering the land, became unfaithful to God. But there were a whole bunch who continued to live the on-mission life. We are to be a continuation of that. Friends, God brought the ultimate blessing upon the world through those who were faithful back then. God made a way for the entire world to know him and be blessed by him through these people. Come on, through these people, he sent his son. He sent his son, Jesus. Please hear me. Jesus was always God's plan. Jesus is still God's plan. And I want you to listen to me very carefully. So are you. So are you. In fact, you're a part of the culmination of God's plan. You're a part of the final phase of God's plan. It began thousands of years ago with some people following God and crossing new lines, which then led to the arrival of Jesus, our Savior King. And that's now brought us up to this point in time in places like Newton, Kansas, where there are still many people who need to receive the ultimate blessing in life, which is relationship with God through Jesus. God's plan is Jesus, you, and a whole bunch of other Jesus followers living as fishers of men until the whole world has had the opportunity to get to know God. And there is no plan B. We wouldn't be here today if those people way back when wouldn't have accepted God's invite. We definitely wouldn't be here without Jesus. And more than likely, a whole bunch of us wouldn't be here if it weren't for the other people who have lived the invitational life for us so that we could also get to know Jesus. And so the question remains, who will we invite? Who do we know that needs relationship with Jesus? Who's in your life that needs to be saved? Friends, it's Palm Sunday. Jesus came boldly on a rescue mission for you and me. He came even though he knew the future and how much it would cost him to save us. Leading up to that last week of his life before he died on the cross, Jesus had set his heart and his mind on Jerusalem. He determined to enter that city to rescue us. And we see multiple times throughout the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John that he began to tell his disciples in advance about what was going to happen to him there. Okay, we could look at many of those. If you got your Bibles open to Mark 8, we're going to read one of those. Mark 8, we're going to read verse 31, okay? It says, "Then Jesus began to tell them that the Son of Man must suffer many terrible things." Okay, he's referring to himself there. Jesus is the Son of Man. "The Son of Man must suffer many terrible things," and watch this, "and be rejected." I want you to notice that word rejected. "Be rejected by the elders, the leading priests, and the teachers of religious law." He would be killed. But 3 days later, he would rise from the dead. Now, keep your Bibles there. We're going to come back in just a little bit. But are you guys seeing this? So, and most scholars, they say Jesus actually began to declare these things or predict these things a year before any of these things ever happened to him. Jesus knew his future. He knew he would suffer. He knew he would be rejected. He knew he would be killed. Thank God he also knew that death couldn't hold him. But let me say it this way, though. Jesus knew it would cost him everything to go fishing for you and me. And yet he still did it. I got 2 points for us this morning. Here's the first one. Fishing for people will cost you something. Fishing for people will cost you something. Friends, what's the cost that keeps you from fishing for others and therefore keeps you from living the fulfilled life or the dream that Jesus has for you? You need to know what that cost is. We have to identify it. Again, I think people do know that fishing for other people will cost them something, but they don't necessarily think about it in those terms. And so I just want us to be very practical. I don't want us to fear the cost any longer. Here's what I want us to do. Let's identify it. Let's acknowledge it so we can start making some payments on it and live the life that Jesus has for us. And you should know the cost that most of us might have to pay if we're going to live the invitational life is a cost that Jesus himself already paid when he went to the cross. However, listen to me, okay? If you choose to live the invitational life, if you choose to be a person that starts inviting other people to church, I think I can safely say that nobody here will suffer physically for handing out an invite to church. I think I can safely guarantee that here in Newton, Kansas, none of us are going to be murdered for going and giving out an invite to church. Amen? People fear giving out invites to church, okay? People have a fear about that, okay? But if you worry about that, you can scratch physical suffering and death off of your list of worries. Sound good? Okay. That day may come, but today's not that day. All right, here's the cost you may have to pay. And here's what most people fear, and therefore here's what keeps most people from accepting Jesus' full invitation to live the invitational life. You may be rejected. You may be rejected. So friends, you can know your future to some extent. You'll probably be rejected on some level by some people some of the time if you choose to be a fisher of men. Not every person wants to be caught for the kingdom of God, and they will fight to get off the hook. Come on, now be honest. Is rejection not one of the biggest fears you have when it comes to inviting other people to church? I only see a few heads doing this. Come on. This is an interactive sport we're doing this morning. Come on. Just be honest. Is rejection or the potential for rejection not one of the biggest fears you have when it comes to inviting other people to church? Come on. That's it, isn't it? That's it, right? So friends, we have to get past the fear of rejection. We got to be willing to make some payments. And listen, you won't experience anything that Jesus didn't already experience, but he experienced it on a much larger scale than you and I probably ever will. But he will also be with you as you make the invite. Besides, okay, let's talk about what that rejection might really look like. Okay, let's say you invite a coworker to church and they say no. Okay, again, very practically this morning, how bad could it possibly be? So you guys want to use your imaginations this morning? Let's use our imaginations this morning, and let's just imagine how this might typically go down. Let's say you go to work tomorrow, and you're pumped up. Tomorrow is your day. It is the day you are going to invite your coworker to church. You've got an invite for them in your pocket, and you're saying, man, even if they say yes or no, I don't know which way they're going to go. I'm going to live the invitational life for them no matter what, but you're just honest. You're a little bit nervous. Your heart's pounding just a little bit. You're praying all day long. God, just give me the perfect moment to go invite that person, to go give them the invite. I'll do it. Just give me the perfect moment. And then that perfect moment comes and you almost wimp out, but then you say, not today, Satan. And you start walking. And before you know it, you're like, oh man, I'm really doing this. This is about to happen. I'm about to, okay. And then you start working yourself up. And in your politest, most sweetest voice, it just comes out. And you're even a little surprised by the way it sounds when it comes out. You're like, hey, I'd like to invite you to church with me on Sunday. It's Easter. All right, let's say that's how it goes. Okay, typically, if they're going to say no, here's what's going to happen. They might get a little awkward. They might get a little awkward. They might get a little surprised. Maybe they'll get a funny look on their face. Or you can tell maybe you caught them off guard just a little bit by giving them that invite. And so they may say something like, I can't go to church. I've got plans this Sunday. Or maybe they'll just be totally straight and say, no, I don't want to go to church, okay? But if we're not prepared, here's what can happen, okay? Because they get a little awkward. If we're not prepared, then we can get a little bit awkward because we feel like we then just created this awkward situation. And then if we're not careful, here's how it can feel to us. We can feel like it was just this big, fat, awkward rejection. And sometimes we get scared and then we think, I don't ever want to try to invite anyone to church ever again. Okay, can I tell you something this morning? Big stinking deal if things get a little bit awkward. Big stinking deal. And again, that's typically the worst it's gonna get. That's nothing. That is nothing. Here's what you need to do. We actually talk about this in our neighborhood gatherings all the time. You need to not fear awkwardness. You need to learn to embrace it. Man, step into the awkwardness. Run to the awkwardness. Come on, people's lives are at stake here, right? And listen, just because they get awkward, it doesn't mean you have to. So you equip yourself, you in advance, you acknowledge to yourself in advance, you say, I'm gonna invite this person to church and they may get awkward, they may say no, it may feel like a little bit of rejection, but I'm keeping it cool. Even if they awkwardly say no, I'm rock solid. I'm just gonna look them in the eye and say, that's cool, but in the future, if you ever change your mind, I'd love for you to go with me. And then you peace out, you go back to work, you say another prayer for them, and you keep living the invitational life out in front of them. And if they get weird, it doesn't mean you have to. Don't get weird, church. Dude, come on, don't get weird on me. Let's not do that, right? Again, though, let's be honest. That's probably what a typical no really looks like, right? So what's potentially the worst that could happen, okay? Maybe the worst that could happen, maybe they say something rude to you when you invite them to church. Probably not, but can I just say something? Big stinking deal if they do. Maybe, just maybe, they go treat you a little bit differently from there on out. Can I tell you something one more time? Big stinking deal if they do. Maybe, just maybe, and now we're getting into very highly unlikely situations right here, but maybe they go talk to some of your other coworkers and you find that you are no longer invited to lunch with them at McDonald's. Can I say it one more time? Big stinking deal. Whippity-doo. You need a Big Mac? We'll go eat with you. Family, if you get serious about following Jesus and living out the invitational life, you'll likely experience some rejection at some point. You will pay that cost. You'll likely have some friends, maybe some coworkers, maybe even some family members that think you're weird. Maybe from time to time, you'll hear some comments that aren't always that kind. Maybe some of those people will say things about your church in a negative way or say things about your church that's not true. You may experience some things like that. You may experience some rejection like that. But friends, come on, who are you ultimately going to obey? Who gets to be Lord and King over your life? Do we submit to the fear of rejection, or are we going to obey Jesus? I'm going to read from Luke 10, verse 16. Jesus tells us in advance that will likely face some rejection, okay? Luke 10, verse 16, watch this. It says, then he said to the disciples, anyone who accepts your message is also accepting me. That's sweet. But watch this. Anyone who rejects you is rejecting me. Here's the cool part. He's saying, you don't even have to take it that personal. He's saying, it's really about me. It's not even really about you. But notice this. He doesn't say, if anyone rejects you. He says, and anyone. He's saying, this is probably going to happen. And anyone who rejects you is rejecting me, and anyone who rejects me is rejecting God who sent me. You'll likely experience some rejection. I would argue, though, that most of what you'll experience really isn't that tough. But regardless, if you say you love Jesus, you need to know that Jesus' followers willingly pay the costs that come with following Jesus. Because come on, church, Jesus so willingly and so lovingly paid the cost to save you and me. Besides, here's the worst case scenario of all, okay? Let's say your coworker desperately needs Jesus in their life. Let's say they desperately need Jesus in their life. And the people who love Jesus, who are in their life, never give them an invite to get to know him. You are God's plan. There isn't a plan B. You are God's plan. And besides, we keep talking about how they might say no. I guarantee there's probably going to be a whole bunch that say yes. That say yes. And then you know what happens? You get to enjoy the fulfillment and you get to experience the joy of allowing God to move through your life to draw other people into true life in God. And you know what you do at that point? You have a dance party. I'm serious. You celebrate. Here's my second point. Number two, not fishing for people will cost you more. Not fishing for people will cost you more. I've said this each week throughout this series. You will personally miss out on the future and the dream and the fulfillment that Jesus has for you if you don't become the fisher of men that he wants you to become. And listen, it's not just that you're going to miss out on fulfillment. You will actually end up living with regret. I've got a very close family member of mine that needs a relationship with Jesus. And I got saved 13 years ago this month. And I began praying for him right away that he would also give his life to Jesus. And we don't live near each other. He lives on the other side of the country, and so I really don't get to see him that often. But, man, I started praying for him. It was probably 1 or 2 years after I got saved. I remember I was at church. We were in the middle of worship. And I'd been praying for him, and I was praying for him in the middle of this worship service, just praying, God, would you get him? You got to get him. And I prayed this. I prayed, God, would you please send someone into his life to tell him about you? And I'd been praying that for months. God, send someone into his life to tell him about you. I prayed that right there in the middle of worship. God, send someone into his life. And I'll never forget. It's like God just interrupted me. Just out of nowhere. And it's almost like he kind of just shouted at me. That's how it felt. This is what I heard. He said, Brandon, you are in his life. You tell him about me. You see, church, I've been praying for God to send someone else into his life because deep down, I feared that he would reject me if I was the one who told him about Jesus. So I was using the excuse that he's so far away, God sends someone else into his life to tell them about you because I don't want to tell them about you myself. But I listened to God and I began to talk to him about Jesus. I've talked to him numerous times about having a relationship with Jesus and he has not accepted that invite yet. And sometimes when we do see each other, it's a little bit awkward. Or if we talk on the phone, it's usually kind of a one-sided conversation because he doesn't really want to ask about how life is here and like, how's your job going? Because my line of work involves Jesus and he doesn't want to talk about Jesus. But I keep it cool. I keep living the invitational life. And listen, he may never accept the invite to know Jesus. And that breaks my heart. But you know, this situation could be worse. Here's the worst possible scenario for this situation. He needs to know Jesus. But the people in his life who love Jesus are too afraid to tell him about Jesus. That would be the worst possible scenario. Church, I don't think I could afford to pay that cost. So I've invited him. He has been invited, and I keep praying for him. And every chance I get, I open the doors. I won't give up. Keep living the invitational life. I'll keep stepping into the awkwardness. I'll embrace it. I'll run to it. I'll pay the cost of rejection. I'll keep pouring my heart out to God for him because, church, his future, his soul, his eternity, his life, his marriage, his family, his kids, all of it's at stake. And look, maybe he won't ever accept, but I will say this. I follow Jesus. And he keeps blowing my mind. Man, I've got, he has saved people around me that I'm just going to be honest, I was like, they'll never give their lives to Jesus. You know some of those people? I was one of them. Come on, he keeps blowing my mind. He keeps doing more and more miracles in our midst. He is the strong God. Amen? So maybe he won't accept the invitation, but you'd have a pretty hard time convincing me. It may not happen tomorrow. It may not happen next year, but I got faith Jesus is going to get him. And you know what I'm going to do on that day? Dance party. And it's going to be bad, too. I am the whitest dancer you have ever seen in your life. I will dance hard. Friends, here's what I keep experiencing, okay? The fulfillment of following Jesus and fishing for people far outweighs any fear or rejection. There's no comparison. It's Palm Sunday, church. Jesus went to Jerusalem on mission to die on the cross for you and for me. It cost him everything, our salvation, our freedom, the ability for us to accept his invitation and get to live true life with God was only won through his death and his burial and his resurrection that week. Okay, that's the cost he was gladly and willing. He was willing to pay that for you and me. Do we not owe him everything in return? I don't understand how we could possibly accept his salvation and enjoy it, but then keep it to ourselves. No, come on. This is the week, church. This is the week where we're going to be bolder than we've ever been for the people in our lives that need the invite, that need to be saved by Jesus. Come on. One more scripture. If you got your Bible still to Mark 8, we read Mark 8, 31 just a minute ago. We're going to skip down just a couple verses to Mark 8, 34 and 35. So Jesus has just told his disciples, this is what's about to happen to me. And now, watch this. He says this. It says, then calling the crowd to join his disciples, he said, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross, and follow me. In other words, you're going to have to pay a cost. It's going to cost you something to do this. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake and for the sake of the good news, come on, that's the love and the message of Jesus. That's the invite right there. He says, if you give up your life for my sake and for the sake of the good news, you will save it. Not only will you save it, but you'll find the fulfillment. You'll live the Jesus dream for your life. Church, who do you need to invite? Who are the people in your life right now that need to be saved? Will you follow Jesus? Will you pay the cost and go fishing for them? Next Sunday is Easter. There is no better, no easier time to invite people to church than Easter. People are more open to being invited to church this week than any other time all year long. Now's your time. Now's your time. So once again, here's what we're doing, okay? You guys all have cards all around you. I've invited you guys for the past couple weeks. If you've already done this, you don't need to do this unless you've got more you want to add, but you've got cards all around you. I've been asking you guys, let's write down the first names of the people we know on these cards that need Jesus, that we need to invite to church, because we want to start praying for them. And I've asked you, just make a copy of that as well. Take a copy with you or take a photo of it so that you can put it in some place where you're going to remember and you'll continue to pray for them throughout the week. And we've been praying. We put all those names in these jars up here, and we've been praying over these jars. We're going to keep praying over these jars way beyond this series. We're going to keep doing this thing. And I've already heard incredible stories of people making invites over the past couple weeks. Even inviting people to the worship night. It's a beautiful thing, okay? Now, the other part you will have to play, though, the other part you will have to play is after Easter, because we want you to write down these names and then go invite those people this week. We've got Easter invite cards in the back. We want you to take as many Easter invite cards as the names that you wrote down so that you can not only pray for them, but actually go take a step of faith and give them the invite. And so we've been praying over these. The bigger step, the other step you're going to have to take is after Easter. Let's say your friends say yes and they show up here with you. Come on, the bigger deal is going to be after Easter to say, I want you to come back. I want you to come back next week. Listen to me. The goal is not to get a big crowd here for Easter next Sunday so we can pat ourselves on the back. The goal is Newton reborn. And friends, as of last Sunday, we wrote down 580 names and put those in the jars. There are 580 names in those jars right now. People that we've said we need to invite or they need to be saved by Jesus. Come on, that's incredible, right? Those are 580 futures that need to be changed. We don't want to just lead them to Jesus just for one Sunday. We want to help them know Jesus from here on out. Amen? And plus, take 580 times three, just to be fairly conservative. Okay, just maybe to represent the number of family members that might be in those jars represented there. That's 1,740 people. 1,740 total family members represented in those jars. Listen to me, here's the step I want everyone to take. Let's walk out these doors today and let's live the invitational life this week. Come on, let's go fishing. Let's do it boldly. I want you to invite the people on your list to church with you next Sunday. You are the person in their lives that loves Jesus. If the people in their lives who love Jesus don't ever invite them, then who else will? And I know this is going to be strong, church. But listen, can you afford to pay the cost of not going fishing for the people you wrote down? I want us to pray together. Come on, we're going to pray together this morning, and we're going to do what we did last week. Last week, we gathered around, and we're going to pray over every person in the jars again, okay? So here we're going to do this right now, all right? And so, look, I know, like, some of you guys are new with us today. You're like, what are we doing? This may feel a little awkward. Let's step into the awkwardness, and let's pray over these names. I'm going to ask Pastor Greg and Cynthia, would you guys mind just grabbing these jars? And here's what we're doing. Like we do on Baptism Sunday, when we all gather around, I want to invite you guys to make your way down front, and we're just going to surround these jars. We're going to surround these two as they hold them, and we are going to pray over these people. Amen? Amen? So come on. I'll meet you down here in 1 second. Just make your way down. We can crowd around. We're family. I love it. You can keep coming down. Hey, we're family. We can squeeze together. If you are new with us, we don't do this every Sunday, but listen, this is seriously, it may feel a little awkward, but this is a step of faith. This is willing to say, I'm going to step into some awkwardness. I'm going to come out. I'm going to really pray over everybody who needs to be saved by Jesus. Amen. The people in our lives. So listen, there's God's part, there's our part, and there's their part. We don't want to fail to do our part to see people know Jesus. Amen? So we're not going to fail to pray. So, I mean, you know the people that you wrote down. I'm going to invite you, just pray over them as we're praying, and let's lift everybody up together. Would you just stretch out your hands towards these jars, and let's pray. Jesus, thank you. Thank you for every precious name written down. Thank you that you know them all. You know their families. You know their kids. God, we want you to get them. We want you to draw them to yourself. We stand in the gap for them. We intercede on their behalf. Come and make a way in their lives. Lord, come and save households. Come and save moms and dads. Lord, would you please, would you rescue the kids that are in these jars? We want to have the chance to make disciples out of these kids. God, we're thinking about the names that we wrote down. Would you bring them here? Would you use us, God? We recognize and we take responsibility that we are the people in their lives that love you. And so we say yes to go fishing. I pray right now, Lord, by your grace, by your Holy Spirit, would you predispose the hearts of all these people to actually say yes when we invite them? I pray we'd even be stunned by some that we think there's no way they're going to come, and we get the yes. Be yourself in this situation, Lord. And we pray, would you just intervene in their homes right now? Would you kick the enemy out of their homes, out of their lives, out of their thought processes, any reason they could come up with to say no? I pray you would defeat that before we even go. Pour out your love, pour out your goodness, pour out your grace, Lord. And I pray your grace over this family of people that's willing to go out and risk some rejection to boldly fish for you. I pray, God, keep your hand upon us. And I pray that there'd be a whole bunch of joy and a whole bunch of fulfillment, Lord, as people step out and do things maybe we've never even done before. I pray that dreams would be awoken in our hearts as we get on mission with you. I pray that the life that you have in front of us would continue to unfold as we follow you. Pour out your blessings on this family. Lord, please, let's see Newton reborn. We pray all this in the name of Jesus. And my whole family said, amen.
Thanks for joining us today. Please know you're always welcome to worship with us on Sunday mornings. Also, if you would like to give to our ministry, you can go to our website at apeopleinthercity.com. We hope to see you soon, and God bless.